You know, it's really fun going through this series, Living in Victory, we're calling it, because really that's kind of one of the themes, certainly, of the book of Joshua, this life entering the promised land. And chapter 7 is highlights a great lesson that the nation of Israel had to learn, and a great lesson that is common to all people, all believers who mature in the Lord. And that is, you know, and that has to do with the importance of always of seeking God in all things, right? In all things. The story is told of this young couple that they went in for premarital counseling. And so, we recommend, right, and many do, they go in for premarital counseling, and they decided, right, that the husband would make all the big decisions. And the wife would make the small decisions. And so they agreed to this. And they go get married. They go about life. And about 5 years later, the husband is thinking. And he realizes, I haven't made any decisions. I'm just responsible for the big decisions. My wife's made all the small decisions, like how many kids to have, which houses to buy, right, which jobs to have, where to work. I'm only responsible for the big decisions, you know. It's interesting how some of these things can get out of order, right? You know, as that story goes, you know, he's responsible for things like whether or not, you know, they're going to support, you know, global trade or what have you. And the things that were truly big decisions, he wasn't even a part of. That can happen, right, for us as well. Right, we can forget what is truly important, and we'll see that here because Joshua and the nation does that here, and overlook very important decisions, very important steps, really in this life of faith, because that's what it boils down to. Right, when it came to some big decisions, they fell on their face, but they fell on their face at the wrong time, as we're going to see here in this passage. We'll see what, you know, we saw last week what happened to Jericho, radical, the result of a big decision, right? They're told by God to go march around the walls, and they did, and the walls fall in. So let's dive in here to the next battle that they face, and that is a little city, not a big city, but a little city called Ai, even a little name, Ai, right? Chapter 7 and verse 1, and so verse 1 says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabal, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. And this anger of the Lord burning against the children of Israel is something that should burn some concern, right, into our hearts, because this is not something that any of us wants. And so, remember last week, God told them that when they took over Jericho, which really he handed them, there were some things that they were not to take, right? The gold, the silver, some of the attire of the city. They were to bring it into the house of the Lord. Not that God needs it. God, you know, the streets in heaven are paved with gold. So God doesn't care about the gold. Right, he knew what it would do to their hearts, and he cares about our hearts. Nevertheless, this is what God said for his own purposes. He said, don't take of these things that he calls the accursed things. It's interesting that he says, don't take of the accursed things, but he says, bring them to him. So what makes the gold, in this case, the silver, accursed? Right? Is it necessarily these things that really represent wealth, right? Things that the people of Israel marching in the desert may have been without, you know, or certainly not been able to experience the benefits of in any respect. Certainly not bad in itself, but what made these things accursed to the nation of Israel? I would suggest that what makes them accursed is that God said to give it to him, right? They're not bad in and of themselves. There's going to be many times much later where the nation's going to become very, very wealthy. It's not that God wanted to keep wealth, right? But in this case, He said, bring it all, right? Bring it all. And they disobeyed. The disobedience is what made it accursed, right? God doesn't need it, but God knew what it would do or could do to their hearts, just like it can do to our hearts. So he wanted it, right, as a sacrifice showing him to be a priority. It became accursed because they did not do what he commanded them to do. Achan thought, perhaps, well, doesn't it make sense? You know, there's so much of it, right? Imagine Jericho's been there a long time, big, powerful city. Might as well just take a little bit for myself, right? My family, do what's best for us, stow it away. Once things really get rolling in Canaan and the promised land, I'll be set. You know, I don't have to worry. But it's not what God said to do. That's the issue, right? And so in terms of principles for us, right? The subtitle here, the series is Living in Victory. Today, the title is Making God Choices. Making God Choices. If we're going to live in victory in this life here, if we're going to live a life in the Spirit, a life of victory, the victorious Christian life, you know, filled with whatever you want to call it, right, then we're going to have to make God choices. And the first principle here then, if you're a note taker, is make this a priority. The importance of attention to and surrender to the Word of God. Make that a priority. God has spoken clearly what they were to do when they went into Jericho. And Achan didn't do that. So it brought trouble for the entire nation. So make this a priority. The importance of attention to and surrender to the Word of God. Verse 2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Right? So they weren't men of Jericho, right? So they're at Jericho. They just took over Jericho. They're camping out there. And now he sends men from this area down to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So in other words, you know, just a small little town, just send a few folks down there and we'll take it. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. So they got their backsides kicked. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Sherebim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Man, remember they're all just rejoicing not long ago, right? Oh, God, you're so awesome. God, you're so great. Look what you did. Man, they're coming in. The river parted. They walked across on dry ground again. Right? God delivered Jericho radically, and now their hearts melt. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth. This is going to become important here. He fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? This is Joshua, right? Our famed leader, man of faith, right? Representative of picture of Christ in the Old Testament. God, why have you brought us over the Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? 36 guys had been killed. Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, and I love this about God. He kind of said, quit whining. Suck it up, right? The Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it in among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel cannot stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies because they have not become doomed, or because they have become doomed to destruction. That's frightening. That would melt hearts, wouldn't it? Neither will I be with you anymore, and that should frighten them above all things, unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. pretty wild, pretty powerful. Get up. Sanctify, which means set apart. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because the Lord, thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Here's the second principle, and we'll break this down a little bit. The second principle, if we want to make God choices, is that we need to seek God in all things and don't blame God when things go poorly when we disobey. Why do I say this? Ai is this dinky little town, right? They go down, they scout it out. God didn't tell them, by the way, to go scout it out, but they're being wise, and so certainly nothing wrong with that. But they go down and they scout it out, and what do? They make an immediate decision. We're just going to send a small contingency down there and wipe these folks out because it's pretty easy. What happened? They got beat. This little contingency got beat by this dinky little town. And as they crawled back into the camp, they found themselves on their face before God crying out. They cried out to the Lord. We see Joshua basically blaming God, saying, why have you brought us over for defeat? Right? They should have found themselves on their face before the Lord before they went down to Ai, right? That's the big difference between Jericho and Ai. Joshua was on his face before the Lord. Jump with me back to chapter 5. You may not even have to turn your page. Verse 14 says, or we'll pick it up in 13, where Joshua comes into contact with a theophany, Jesus. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And so he said, that is the commander of the Lord's army. No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And what did Joshua do? He fell on his face to the earth and he worshiped. And he said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? We don't read anything about that before the battle of Ai. We don't read anything about them seeking God's face. We don't read anything about them asking God what they should do. And we read about them getting their backsides handed to them by a dinky little town, right? See, the problem with their thinking between Jericho and Ai is after they took Jericho, they thought that they took Jericho. But the people didn't take Jericho. God took Jericho, right? What did they do? They marched around. They played some music. In fact, they marched in silence. And then they played some music at the end, and God took Jericho. Israel didn't take Jericho. They said, well, look at us, man, we're something. We didn't really know how powerful we are. We don't even need a full army to go down and take Ai. Whoops. It wasn't them who took Jericho. The difference is in seeking the Lord, right? It's so important for us to seek God in all things first, right? And Jericho was a big decision. Crossing into the promised land was a big decision. Joshua got on his face before the Lord to make this big decision. Ai, not so big. Didn't seem so big, right? Oh, it's this little city. We don't really need to get on our face before the Lord. Well, guess what? They were on their face before the Lord afterwards, crying out, why, oh Lord, why did you do this to us? Does that sound like anybody we know? Me, right? Anybody else? Yeah, God, why did you do this? I didn't tell you to go down and take Ai with a small little army, right? We'll find out. They're going to take Ai, right? But they find themselves on their face before the Lord after they get beat. The difference is seeking and obeying God, and both are important. Sometimes we seek God and we don't obey him, right? Sometimes we don't seek God, we just go. God bless what I'm doing, not what are you doing, because I want to get involved in it, right? And so it's a big difference. So it's important that we seek God in all things. And then don't blame him when things go poorly because we don't obey him, right? And so they're learning some important lessons, because the reality is life, right, in this life, lessons, and I can bear testimony, are continuous. I don't know about anybody else. If you've learned everything there is to learn in life, let me know, because I'd love to have you download it to me a little bit? I'm always learning, you know? And that's the reality. In the scriptures, lessons are continuous. And they had to learn that, like we have to learn that. There's lessons throughout life. Before they entered in the promised land, they had to learn, how do I enter into the promised land? And it was by faith, right? We think of faith as some mystical thing, but we saw that faith is really listening for God's guidance and stepping out, right? That's really where faith is. It doesn't take any faith to sit. Well, sometimes it takes a little faith to sit still. But you know, we can hear God. There's not faith involved until we act on it. Does that make sense? There's not faith until we act on it. And so they had to walk down to the river and actually put their foot in the river before the river parted. God told them it's going to part. God told them they're going to cross. Right? But they still had to walk down and put their foot in the river. Right? You know, some people, you know, call it tangible or practical things. And in a sense, that makes sense. You know, they had to go do it. Now that they're in the promised land, all of life is by faith. Right? But there's different lessons. It's no longer about entering into the promised land. Right? But it's about continuing to stay where God wants them to be, to continue to stay in God's blessing. Now, how do we do that? What does that mean? Well, jump with me over to Jude, right? Just turn to Revelation and go back a page. And turn with me over to Jude because this is a good question. You know, we're saved by faith and we love that. We're thankful for that. I hope you are. It's a wonderful thing, right? We're saved. You know, we've been baptized in the Spirit. We're stepping out into the victorious Christian life. But it seems like I still fail at times. It seems like things aren't always just smooth. I don't win all the battles. Anybody win all the battles? I don't win all the battles, right? At least on a human level. We can rise above and win, you know, walk in victory by faith. Enjoy that victory by faith. But look in Jude here. I would say chapter 1, but there's just one chapter, so that's easy, right? In verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved." So, you know, and he's reading, right? He's a bondservant of Jesus. We see in verse 1 that this is to believers, those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved by Jesus Christ. So he's speaking to believers here. He says, "You building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." Right? So we get this, you know, building ourselves up in our most holy faith, right? We do that by God's word, right? We do that by listening to God's word, by studying his word. We do that by obeying his word, right? We do that by fellowship, right, which is commanded in God's word. We do that, you know, in many ways. By praying in the Holy Spirit. How do we pray in the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible teaches a number of different ways, right? We can groan, right? And the Spirit makes intercessions for us. We can pray in tongues. We can pray in English, right? You know, the question is, are you praying according to God's Spirit? There's a number of ways to pray in the Holy Spirit. But here's what I'm getting at. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. Wow. Aren't I always in the love of God? What does Jude mean? Is he apostate? Right? Is he backslidden? This is Jude, you're the half-brother of Jesus. What do you mean, keep yourselves in the love of God? Does that mean there's times where God doesn't love me? Absolutely not. Not at all. God is for you. God loves you. He's promised he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So if he encourages us to stay in the love of God, what is he talking about? The truth is, even though God loves us, we can make decisions to walk outside of his blessing, right? We can make choices to walk outside of God's blessing, not outside of you know, his love for us in terms of his heart for us, his passion for us. But we can make decisions. Sin is a perfect example. We make decisions. It's not a disease, right? We can make decisions to step outside of the blessing of God, right? not outside of his protection. He's always protecting us, right? Although he can withdraw that protection if we make certain choices at times, right? But Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Someone said it like this. I want to be under the spout where the blessing comes out, right? Are we going to be where God wants us to be? Because the truth is, by decisions, we can step outside of that place. Jump with me back over to our study. They had to learn this lesson, as we all have to learn this lesson, that we need to remain dependent upon the Lord and where he wants us to be. How could they one day have such victory and just days later have such tremendous defeat? Right? It's because they thought that they could take Ai and that they didn't need God. They thought that God was just going to maybe perhaps be there on the large battles and we don't need him on the small ones. Right? Like we can think God will lead us in our large decisions, but oh, we can just make our decision. And there's some things that we just know what the will of God is. I don't really need to seek the Lord. You know, when someone cuts me off on the freeway, I don't really need to seek God about whether or not I should shoot them, right? I might be tempted, but that's just a no-brainer, right? So when I say that because of our decision right there, it's not like, Lord, I'm so angry. I want to blow the tire out. All right, you're saying no. All right. You know, some things you just know. I mean, and God's word is already clear on that matter, right? And so, but God does want us to look to him for all of our decisions. So now the nation is learning how to repent. They're learning how to get back with God. And their defeat had to do with sin. And we'll see that here in a few minutes. Their defeat, as we read, their defeat had to do with sin in the camp, with sin in life. Turn with me over to James chapter 5. Because I want to make it clear that trouble in our lives is not always the result of sin. There's movements that would suggest that, faith movements and others that would suggest that, you know, if things aren't basically perfect for you, and you're not always well, and you're not always rich, and you're not always this and that, that it's because of lack of faith or sin. And that's not always the case, right? You know, there's difficulty in the life of the just and the unjust. And there's sometimes lessons that we just learn because we need to learn them. And so it's not always a result. But sometimes trouble is a result of sin in our lives, our choice, right? Jump with me over to James chapter 5, and we'll pick it up in verse 13. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And we're happy to do that, by the way, anytime anybody is finds yourself in a place where you need that. Verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and he, if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So clearly there are times, as we see over in Joshua chapter 7, there are times when difficulty is the result of disobedience against God. Right? And so when that's the case, we don't need to beat ourselves up. I don't read that anywhere here in James 5, you know. Go climb up on a pole and sit on a platform for 5 days all by yourself and suffer, right? No, he says come and repent. That's what God's word says, right? You know, you sin, confess your trespasses to the Lord, and he's faithful and just to forgive your sin. And so there are times, and that's what they're learning, is that if I want to stay in this victorious life, if I want to enjoy this life in Christ, this life in the Spirit, you know, this victorious life, kind of call it what you want. If I want to enjoy this, then I need to stay in a place making right decisions before God. Right? And so And that's part of what the lesson that they're learning here. You know, one, Achan, in this case, had taken that which belonged to God. People do that today, right? Take that which belongs to God and their finances or God's glory or his power or, you know, you name it. God said, don't do it. God said, bring it in. Bring it in. And so Achan thought, well, nobody will know. Nobody will know if I just take a little bit. There's so much gold. Man, no one's going to know. Except course, God knew, right? God knew about the sin. And we could be tempted like that. It's my computer. These days, I can even erase the history, you know? No one will know what I'm looking at on the computer, you know? Or it only hurts myself. I know God says not to do this, but it's really a victimless crime, even though God calls it sin. You know, and you know, the list goes on, right? Achan made the mistake thinking that nobody would know, but God knew. God said, don't take it. He let it get to his heart, right? And he said that no one will know, and I'll be set. So I'll just take a little bit and hide it until the right time. Like today, God wanted something so much better for his people, right? He wanted this life of faith where he's their father and they're dependent upon him and they're looking to him and they're enjoying him and they're waking up praising him and they're praising him and seeking him throughout the day and that he is there. And yet Achan took some of that upon himself. Right, God wanted to be their blessing, and he was choosing to try to take a little piece of something that God said not to. God is trying to teach them the magnificence of this life of faith, the spiritual life, this life of maturity in him, sanctification, being set apart for him, which he wants us to learn to look to him, right, for our joy, to learn to look to him for our comfort, for our provision, for our health. And he's teaching them this lesson, right, to look entirely to him, that the key to the blessing, the key to the thrill, the key to the power, the key to the magnificence of this life in Christ is that every day they would look to the God who loves them like he wants for us today, that every day they would turn to him, that they would seek him. And this is the key. This is a lesson that he was trying to teach them. To trust him. To listen to him. And the reality is, like Achan, right? If we choose to step outside of what God said, we choose to not follow what he's laid out, then we can choose to step outside of that place some people call it his perfect will, right? Right where God wants us to be, the place of great blessing, and not experience his best. God wants the people to look entirely to him. That's the key. And Achan said no. And it's going to be costly for him. And it already has been costly for the nation. Right? What was part of Achan's error, right, was he was thinking back to Egypt, right? He's thinking back to, what is Egypt a picture of? The world, you know, sin, not just, you know, being in the right place with God. He's thinking according to the ways of Egypt and not according to the ways of faith, the ways of fear, the ways of the natural man, the ways of insecurity, the ways of those who don't have a heavenly father to care for them. Who says, just take what you can. Watch out for the big number one. You deserve this, right? This is a great lesson for them about getting right with God and staying right with God, right? We often do, I do, what Joshua did, right? I fall on my face after the problem, right? I fall on my face before the Lord. I didn't pray about this. I didn't ask for his direction, or maybe I did ask and I went in a different direction and then it doesn't go well. And then I fall on my, how much better, right? To fall on our face before God, before, not just in the big decisions of life, but in the little. I remember someone talking about, you know, the refrigerator wasn't working right. And they're like, you know, that's just kind of too small of a thing to pray about. You know, I mean, if it was my health, I mean, people have, you know, cancer, you know, we're all praying for Chris Marks, you know, certainly is kind of an eye-opener in terms of priorities and problems, right? But, you know, this person made somewhat of an understandable point. You know, why am I going to pray about my refrigerator? And someone said, well, God cares. Pray about it. And guess what? Refrigerator started working again. Don't ask me the details. I don't know. I've heard Chuck talk about driving down the road and, you know, start hearing this noise in the car and, you know, he's figuring out and he's sort of diagnosing it and how to fix it. And Kay says, well, why don't we pray about it? He's like, well, no, I know what it is. I don't need to pray about it. He said, well, I'm going to pray about it. Guess what? The noise stops. Go figure, right? I don't know how that all works, but I know that it's an awesome and a mighty God, right? Seek the Lord in big things and little things. And then as we mentioned here, Joshua kind of gets on his face, and I don't mean to be, make light of the hurt that he was experiencing, or make light of hurt that we experienced, but he kind of starts whining to God, doesn't he? Right? And I mean, if we're going to whine anywhere, you know, God has big shoulders, but God basically says, look, get up, man up, if you will, own this. You blew it. It's not the end of the world. You're going to get back on track, but man up, right? Get up, God says. And let's go forward, right? God or Joshua says, why have you brought this? And the Lord says, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? And I like that about God. God's teaching him to grow up, right? Don't come whine and limp, right? Joshua perhaps thought that God would come running to his side, almost apologizing. Oh, sorry about AI. I was tied up that day, and I know you got beat. No, God doesn't do that, right? He doesn't beat him up either. But what does he do? He deals with the real issue, which is sin. Sin in the camp. And so when we can be tempted to come and accuse God, that's what Joshua is doing, right? God, why did you allow this? You know, as I was studying through this, I maybe it was the Lord reminding me, but I thought of a lot of ways I do this, you know. Oh, Lord, you know, I know you've called me to this, but give me strength. And he's like, I already have. Just go do it. I told you to do it, right? Oh, God, why is this so hard? I don't think I can. Well, yeah, you can. I told you. Just go do it. I love that about the Lord, you know. Especially when it's to somebody else, not so much to me. But anyway, I mean, right? I mean, we're just honest. But I mean, here, that's basically what he says. You know, man up. Own it. Go forward. He doesn't condemn. There's people that will try to condemn. He doesn't, you know, beat him up. And so, God doesn't apologize. He just says, get up, right? Go deal with it. And so when he lays out, and God, because he knew, right, he's going to deal with it, and it is costly. And so the third point, let's jump on to verse 14 here. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning, right? He did what God said, brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, which is interesting, of course, right? We know that the Lord comes through this clan and this tribe, rather. So you know, Jesus isn't up there, you know, angry or whatever. He's here to, he came not that we should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the father of Judah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, and I like this, because I kind of hear a voice of compassion, right? You know, there's different ways you could read it, but I hear Joshua saying, oh, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And so to Achan's credit, he answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils, and we see a progression here we all need to be wary of. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them, and I took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent and the silver under it. And so the third principle for us, and this is good because we can see that same progression, right? I saw, I coveted, I took, and I hid, right? That's kind of a progression that can certainly occur in a number of areas in our lives. So the principle here, number three for us, is to be very careful that things of the world, right, their priorities, passions, perspectives, don't get control of your heart. Right? And keep in mind that the Hebrew, the biblical meaning of the heart, really has more to do with the seat of the intellect, our mind, right? And remember where your home is, right? This is terrible for Achan, right? But I would rather be, because he's going to be put to death. I would rather be repent and get right and be put to death and spend eternity in heaven than not. You know what I mean? Fortunately, God doesn't force all of us these days to make the same choice, right? You know, we read Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, and you know, and well, they lied to the Holy Spirit and they're dead. Well, how about many of us, Lord? And we sing, Jesus, I surrender all. What if we all run to the same standard? We're singing to the Lord, I surrender all to you. We'd be, you know. And so thankfully, God doesn't always do this. But in this case, God is going to deal with this, partly to deal with the sin in the camp of Israel, partly as a good lesson to us. But be very careful that the things of the world's priorities, the world's passions, the world's perspectives, don't get control of your mind, your heart. Remember where your home is. Our home is in heaven. Remember to trust the Lord, right? Achan doesn't. He covets and he takes it. He takes what God said belongs to him. And we want this, don't we? We all want to do right, right? We all want to stay close to the Lord, right? But and any of us who thinks that we're not just a moment away from having the same challenge is fooling ourselves, right? We're all still, in a sense, two people, sort of. I don't mean this in a weird sort of way, but we all have that desire to please the Lord. I love God. I want to please him. And we all still have this old man, the flesh, that battles against that every stinking minute, right? I was going to say every day, but it's all the time, right? We have this wrestle in us. All of us could be, you know, Achan could be a picture of all of us to some degree. We want God to be our master, to be our father, you know, that he's always for us and with us, and to always make decisions that are right with him. But then there's this other side that says, give it to me. I want it now. God, I want everything right now. And no matter how long we've been a Christian, right, we know, right, there's not a soul that doesn't know this great struggle and this great potential that in a moment we could take our eyes off the Lord and get straight away. And then our soul becomes hidden, like those treasures of Achan became hidden, right? Buried in places, and we try not to let people see them, right? And we try not to even let God in, but God is saying, I love you, right? I want what is best for you, right? Turn from this, right? Get right. And then we're going to see the blessing continue. That's the story of the life of faith. Right, if we're truly going to enjoy the promised land, if we're truly going to enjoy Canaan, then that old man needs to die. Right, the old way of thinking, the way of Egypt, needs to be put to death. God showed them you don't need to live like you did in Egypt. So be careful that things of the world, the priorities, the passions, the perspectives, don't get control of our mind. And then last, but definitely not least, is don't let sin control you. And when you do find yourself in that place, just repent right away. That's what I love about the Lord. He's not beating us up, clobbering us, right? He just repent. And so now God is forced to act. And so verse 23, they took them from the midst of the tent, that is the possessions, brought them to Joshua and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire, and they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned, and I love this, the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this very day. Right away, upon repentance, God turns. relents from this trouble that he had laid out. Very sobering, very frightening. He just turns. And so I love that about that. And one of the great truths of the spiritual life is that the very things that Achan was trying to secure for himself, the very things that we so often try to fix for ourselves through disobedience to the Lord, God is saying, it's my job to do that, right? Our memory verse today, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and most of these things will be taken care of. No, all these things will be given to you. That's radical. That's a God who loves us. We live differently now, right, in Canaan, right? All God calls us to do is to follow him. That means to trust him. That means to obey him, right? He loves us. He loves to bless us, right? When God's our Father, we don't need to sweat these things that the world often sweats. He says, I will provide for you. I will discipline you. I don't like that so much, right? Although I've learned to appreciate it. I heard one dad telling his son, said, Dad, how long are you going to discipline me for? And like any loving father, he said, just as long as you need it. Right? Because we love him. Right? And at some point when it's not, you know, but the sin was costly, but God forgave and he restored. Right? Either the sin dies within us, right, and goes on to a later blessing, or we don't stop, we don't repent, and it goes on to more trouble. The good news is that Joshua, he looked within, right? And they searched. Like David said, search me, O God. And I think this is up to us as individuals, right? Search me, O God, and help me find if there's any way that is not right with you. Right? And I think that's a good prayer for us to do. And then when God does put a finger on that area, like he did here for the nation of Israel, to deal with it, to change, to repent, and then to go on into this life of blessing. That's really what God wants for us. You know, we all want to walk in this land, right? This spirit-filled life, this life of faith, this life of Canaan, the promised land. We want to walk in that, but it requires learning this lesson that Israel learned here in Ai, and we're going to go on and see they did learn, right? They'll still learn more lessons later, right? But this lesson to trust the Lord, to seek the Lord, right? When they get off track to say I'm wrong and just get right back on track and enjoy him. Enjoy the Lord. He's for us. He loves us, right? And so I hope that if we take away anything, it's to make God choices, right? Choices that God lays out and that we walk in and that we enjoy him. We look to him and seek him every day. Let's stand together and we will close in prayer. And then I see some good food out there. So. Father, thanks so much for today, Lord. And I know that Lord, coming before your word and looking into the mirror of your word, Father, we see things that sometimes are troubling, God. But thank you that you don't do that to trouble us, but to teach us, Father. You show us things, God, that perhaps we need to change, God, to because you want to bless us. Lord, that's radical. So many think of you, Lord, unfortunately, as wanting to bring trouble, Lord, wanting to hurt, wanting to kill our fun or our joy. When, Lord, you came that we can have life and that more abundantly. You want to bless us, Lord. Lord, in Christ, there's yes and amen. And so, Lord, I pray that we would take this lesson here, the lesson of Ai, Lord, and seek you daily. Seek you for everything, big things, small things, and then to step out in faith and obedience to who you are, because you're for us and you're with us. And we give you thanks, God, because of who you are, because of your mercies being new every morning, because of the love and the faithfulness and the goodness that you have towards us, Lord. And we give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.